This is DW News live from Berlin. Tonight, 11 million people in China on lockdown, the city of Wuhan canceling all flights and trains in a bid to stop a deadly virus from spreading. The city is the epicenter of an outbreak of the coronavirus that's claiming lives and fueling fears of a global pandemic. And with no vaccine, officials are scrambling to contain the virus. Also coming up, Donald Trump on trial. Democrats lay out their case for removing the U.S. president from office. In oral arguments, impeachment manager Adam Schiff says Trump abused his office by withholding aid to Ukraine. We'll get the latest by going live to Washington. Plus, a call to action over climate change. The head of the EU Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, says Europe should be leading the charge in creating a carbon-neutral future. I'm Brent Goff. It's good to have you with us. Shutting down a city to stop a virus. Chinese authorities are closing transport networks in the city of Wuhan. It is at the heart of the coronavirus outbreak that is spreading across Asia and beyond. The government has also advised inhabitants not to leave the city on their own. Now, flights and trains out of Wuhan are being shut down. 17 people we know have died from the virus. More than 500 cases have been confirmed in China alone. A handful of cases have also been reported in other Asian countries as well as in the U.S. Chinese health authorities believe that the virus originated from wild animals at a seafood market in Wuhan. They have confirmed that the virus can be transmitted human to human. The World Health Organization has not declared a global health emergency over this outbreak yet. It is delaying its final decision until Thursday. Well, to talk about that, I'm joined now by Dr. Mohamed Munir, a virologist at Lancaster University in England. Doctor, it's good to have you on the show. You know, we've just heard from the World Health Organization. They say they need more time to decide if this is a global health emergency. Do you agree with them? I mean, we're seeing a drastic measure being taken in China tonight.
Yeah, well, meeting has just concluded a few minutes before, but since yesterday I've been claiming this one that there wouldn't be any emergency because we were seeing a few clues about it. For instance, if we talk about SARS coronavirus in 2003, which has been a lot more devastating compared to what we are seeing now, at that time there wasn't any emergency imposed by the WHO. So there were a few indications that it wouldn't be an emergency situation, but there would be some interim control measures. That is what they are proposing. So hopefully, if this situation carry on with a lot of efforts from the international community, we might not need to go for the emergency, but having interim control measure instead.
What do you make of what the Chinese authorities have announced, which is basically the lockdown of a city, the city of Wuhan, where 11 million people live. Is that the right decision to contain this virus?
Well, this is a wonderful decision. And if I would be on their position, I would probably do this decision a lot earlier than what they have done so far. And there is a strong scientific backing for this one. If you really look on to all those outbreaks or all those cases that has been not only within inland, but also overseas, they all have links with the original cases in Wuhan City. So that means that Wuhan City is an epicenter, and if control measures wouldn't be taken place in that city, it might lead to even more drastic effects. So the decision they have taken today, I think it is appreciated, is great in sort of containing the infection within this locality, because if we do so, the chances to get it even more spread, which it has been spreading in all dimensions, can be minimized significantly.
Would you say that this decision is something like pulling the emergency brake here? Because we know that the Lunar New Year holiday is about to begin in China. And once you have tens of millions of people traveling, it will probably become impossible to contain the virus then, right?
Yeah, it would be impossible. But all those controls measures, for example, restricting the movement or discouraging the gatherings, these do help in to some extent in further disseminating the infections. Because what we believe is that for a sustainable infection in a community, at least one person has to transmit the virus to another one person at least. So if it is possible to minimize that contact and that transmission, the virus itself will dry out, as it has been the case in many other occasions, for example, in SARS 2003.
Okay, Dr. Mohamed Munir, a virologist, joining us tonight from Lancaster University with the latest on this coronavirus outbreak in China. Doctor, we appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, now to the United States and the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump. The Republican-controlled Senate has been hearing opening arguments from House impeachment managers today. Trump was impeached last month on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. He's accused of pressuring Ukraine to investigate former Democratic Vice President Joe Biden, a political rival, and he's accused of impeding a congressional investigation into that alleged abuse. Trump denies any wrongdoing. And for more now, let's go straight to Washington, where our correspondent Oliver Salad is standing by. Good evening to you, Oliver. Lead impeachment manager, the Democrat Adam Schiff, he just accused Trump of setting up a corrupt scheme to pressure Ukraine to help him win re-election this year. Did he have any new evidence to present?
They would certainly like to, Brent, but Republicans have been blocking efforts made by the Democrats to vote on new evidence. As of now, the Democrats are alleging the Republicans that they're trying to hide new evidence, that they're covering up President Trump's alleged wrongdoing. So Adam Schiff, the leading manager of the impeachment trial, is now presenting basically the evidence that was collected by House investigators in the last weeks, and basically laying out how Donald Trump pressured Ukraine to investigate into Donald Trump's political rival Joe Biden on corruption charges, with the goal, of course, to weaken him as a presidential candidate. He's currently the front runner of the Democratic Party and Donald Trump's political opponent. And that is already one of the two charges made against Donald Trump, abuse of power. The other one is obstruction of Congress. And we're going to hear more in the coming days with the Democrats trying to make their case that Trump has to be removed from office.
And we know that the Democrats, they would like to see former National Security Advisor John Bolton, you know, as a witness testifying. That probably will not happen. Could there be a witness or two, though, that the Republicans would like to see and would allow?
Oh, absolutely. And some of the Republicans even argue, let's agree to that bid of the Democrats to have witnesses included in the trial and just invite our own witnesses. And those could be Joe and Hunter Biden, for instance, on those corruption allegations. And they would certainly like to justify then by having them testify that President Trump's phone call was, you know, the right thing to do. There is no proof, of course, for that as of now. The whistleblower could be another witness to be invited, where the strategy could be to question his legitimacy. The whistleblower was the one who delivered the information on the phone call in the first place. But let's not forget there will be a vote on witnesses and on evidence that is going to take place after both sides have presented their initial arguments. And that will be 6 days down the impeachment trial, and that, in the eyes of the Democrats, is too late for all this information to be considered.
DW's Oliver Salad with the latest from Washington on the impeachment trial of President Trump. Oliver, thank you. Well, the U.S. president left the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland today as that impeachment trial was getting underway, but he didn't leave before taking a parting shot at the European Union. Now, in contrast to Trump, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, she told the world's business and political elite in Davos that time is running out to fight climate change. In her keynote speech delivered today, she urged leaders to take action, pointing to her European Green Deal as a model that they should follow.
The World Economic Forum, hosted in Europe's highest town, is hoping to encourage sustainable climate policy. Europe aims to become a pioneer, says EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. With her European Green Deal, she wants to make the continent the first to achieve carbon neutrality.
The novelty and the difference to our fossil fuel-based model is that we will foster growth that is not extracting resources, but that gives back to the planet more than it takes away from it.
Just before his departure, US President Trump surprised the participants with a different topic. He called for a new trade agreement with the EU, threatening to impose trade sanctions on car imports.
They have trade barriers where you can't trade. They have tariffs all over the place. They make it impossible. They are, frankly, more difficult to do business with than China.
Following the trade agreement with China, Trump has his sights firmly set on the EU.
Well, here are some of the other stories now that are making headlines around the world. Experts at the United Nations say that the phone of Amazon founder and Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos was likely hacked through a file sent from an account used by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The experts allege that the hacking was an effort to influence or silence the Washington Post's reporting on Saudi Arabia. There is no let-up in Lebanon's ongoing protest movement despite the formation of a new government that ended a power vacuum. Protesters clashed with police in the capital, Beirut. After nightfall earlier, the new prime minister, Hassan Diab, said that the country must tackle two challenges, that of the protest movement and a nose-diving economy. Large crowds of people are protesting on three Greek islands to demand the immediate removal of thousands of asylum seekers. Camps on the islands of Lesbos, Chios, and Samos house over 10 times the number of people that they were built for in some cases. The defining trial of the Me Too era has begun in earnest in New York. Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein is facing charges of rape and sexual assault. Prosecutors say that Weinstein is a sexual predator who used his powerful position to abuse women for decades. His defense lawyers have argued that his accusers were willing participants.
Appearing at court on Wednesday morning, the once mighty media mogul cut a frail figure. Sources close to Harvey Weinstein report he feels he's the victim and has pleaded not guilty, claiming all his sexual relations were consensual. Over 80 women, among them prominent names like Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie, accuse him of sexual misconduct. Several cases have reached the statute of limitations. In some others, Weinstein reached settlements out of court. But two cases are being heard in New York, with charges of rape and sexual assault. In the court of public opinion, Weinstein has long been seen as guilty. But it's not a clear-cut case, says defense attorney Stacey Schneider.
The defense is in possession of emails from the victim to Harvey Weinstein after the alleged rape occurred. And the defense's position will be that if she was raped by Harvey Weinstein, why was she telling him that she misses him and wants to see him again?
The biggest challenge so far has been selecting a jury of his peers, 12 people who can reach a verdict independent of public opinion. At least 6 weeks of hearings are planned so far. The outcome is wide open.
I'm Brent Goff here in Berlin. Business news is up next. But first, a tribute to the genius of Terry Jones. Now, he was one of the founding members of the Monty Python team. He revolutionized comedy in the early 1970s. Tonight, we'll say thanks to Terry Jones, dead at the age of 77.
Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life.
Come on!